Pray with me. Holy God, touch our yearnings by your words. Penetrate our weariness and distraction with your promises. Singe our hearts with your love. Amen. This past Wednesday, the solar and lunar calendars intersected to cause an unusual convergence of days, Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday. The two celebrations are in marked contrast, as you know. One is known for chocolates and roses, and the other for ashes and solemnity. One is the celebration of romantic love, and the other an acknowledgement of mortality and a call to repentance. One is mainstream, and the other countercultural. I know this last is true because when I went to the card shop just before Ash Wednesday, I found an abundance of Valentine's cards done up in red, white, and pink, but not a single Ash Wednesday card. In fact, Hallmark has not yet figured out how to design greeting cards for Lent at all. Well, what would such a card say? Happy Lent? While folks who observe Lent don't have to walk around with grim expressions all the time and dress totally in black, Lent is not like Valentine's Day. So what about, please accept my sympathies? Though Lent is sometimes referred to as the dark season, it is not tragic. True, we remember Jesus' anguish on the cross, but we also look forward to the glorious triumph of Easter. Lent is oppositional. When our part of the world is attentive to the possibility of spring, noting the lengthening days, Lent is about increasing darkness. Some folks mark Lent as a kind of reverse Advent. You remember in Advent we light an additional candle each of those four Sundays? In those churches, beginning this week, there are seven lighted candles which week by week will be extinguished until on Good Friday, when the world is warm and the crocus are pushing up, those sanctuaries are in total darkness. So to begin to try to wrap our heads around Lent, we need to go back to Jesus himself and look at his own peculiar season, his 40 days in the wilderness. Just before Jesus' wilderness time was his baptism, when the voice from heaven confirmed his calling and his relationship with God. Then the Holy Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, where he struggled with what it meant to be God's son. The wilderness is the place where things are stripped down to the essentials. The habits, the substances, the surroundings, the people that ordinarily provide comfort, security, and identity are all gone. In the wilderness, there would have been little to distract Jesus from facing himself and his calling. You and I know about the wilderness, because the wilderness is not so much a literal place as it is an experience of being lost, feeling utterly alone, facing the unknown, being unsettled. Grief is a wilderness. A loved one dies and suddenly the familiar is strange. Your thoughts are confused. There's no escaping the void that you know in your heart and in your life. Divorce or job loss can be a wilderness when old identities are lost and familiar purpose and routines are gone. Facing a difficult decision when either way your life, facing a difficult decision is a wilderness when either way that you choose, your life or that of another is dramatically, maybe even permanently changed. Doubt is a wilderness where faith seems lost and prayer feels like sawdust in your mouth. Yes, I think you and I know about being in the wilderness. But wilderness isn't only a personal experience. It can be a communal experience, even for churches. A colleague of mine, who is a volunteer for Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, has served 2 terms of duty in Puerto Rico. His job there has been to be a pastor to pastors whose churches are in turmoil. Church buildings have been damaged or destroyed. Congregations have been scattered. Contributions have fallen. These pastors are struggling to minister to their people, to bring them hope, while they themselves have lost homes and income. These are churches that are in the wilderness. Congregations in Parkland, Florida, are wandering in the wilderness this morning. They are mourning the loss of children they have watched grow up and nurtured in the faith. They are comforting parents and planning funerals. They are wrestling with questions of why this tragedy happened in their community and what their faith has to offer in its wake. Those faith communities are walking through a previously unimagined wilderness. When a pastor leaves a congregation for whatever reason, it can feel like that church too is in the wilderness. The future is unknown. The face in the pulpit is unfamiliar. It seems that no one is in control, or that everyone is in control, which is pretty much the same thing. The church's sense of identity is called into being. It can seem as if the church and its people have been abandoned, and there is a scramble to figure out just who's going to be there to hold the hands of the dying and pray with the grieving. We know about being in the wilderness. We know about being stripped down to the essentials, about the loss of comfort and security and identity. How appropriate then that we find ourselves in this season of wilderness, for this is what Lent with its practices of reflection and self-denial is about. Although Lent is associated with giving up things like candy or trying to cultivate a new good habit, Lent is actually a challenge to us to give up even more. In the wilderness, we are challenged to lay aside the familiar things that the world uses to define us, to give up the practices and the beliefs that we use to make us feel comfortable and secure, and to give ourselves over to God's leading and care. Pastor William Leedy uses this image for the Lenten experience. Imagine that a man dressed in his briefs slithers headfirst, assisted by rescuers in yellow suits and firefighters' hats, emerging from under a building leveled by an earthquake. Hair disheveled and covered with dust, he could be the prosperous owner of a computer software business, or the callous manager of a two coin op laundries, or an unemployed short order cook. He might even be the mayor. He could drive a Mercedes or a Chevy, or take the bus when he's not trying to hitchhike. He might be married or unmarried. He might be the father of a couple of kids, or he might not be able to afford or sustain relationships at all. When you are pulled from a ruined building with just your life and your jockey shorts, everything is stripped away, and you are pared down to the basics. That description of Lenten wilderness experience doesn't sound very inviting, does it? Perhaps that was true for Jesus, too. Today's text says that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. That word, drove, is not about getting in a Range Rover and being dropped off at the campsite. Rather, it is the same verb that is used to describe how Jesus dealt with unclean spirits. He commanded them to leave afflicted people. He ordered and expelled them. He gave them no choice. This was how the Spirit compelled Jesus to go to that scary spiritual place to wrestle with himself and his relationship with God. And this is where Lent demands that we go. Or perhaps Lent may demand that we acknowledge that we are already in that wilderness place. Either way, the wilderness time can be a time of discovery and of hope. We may discover that Christ is there too. We may discover that we are not, in fact, alone, but with someone who has been there before. Are you struggling with faith? Jesus knew what it was like to struggle with faith. Are you grieving? Jesus grieved too. Are you preparing for something new? Something that will demand everything of you? Something you wonder if you will even survive? Jesus knew what that was like too. And so it is for the church as well. The church is also driven out of its familiar identity, its comfortable ritual, into a new future. A future that is unknown and feared, but in many ways longed for. In the Exodus, the Israelite slaves left Egypt and were led into the wilderness. They were not happy there, even though they were free. In the wilderness, the good old days of enslavement when food was guaranteed and water was abundant looked a lot better than the barren, arid wilderness. But that wilderness time proved to be the time when they learned that the one who led them was not Moses, but God. They learned that God would provide what they needed to make the journey. They learned that God could be trusted to be with them and to care for them. And they learned that they had a new identity. They were no longer Egyptian slaves, but God's own beloved people. Jesus, too, was changed by the wilderness. Mark doesn't give us all the details that Luke and Matthew do about what took place, but it was certainly a time of formation for him. He learned that God sent angels and wild animals to be with him and to care for him. And he went out into the wilderness as an unknown carpenter. And when he emerged, it was as a wandering, bold proclaimer of the good news of God's kingdom. Lent asks every follower of Christ and every church to allow the Spirit to drive us into the wilderness. Or in our case, to acknowledge that we are already there. The wilderness for us is an in-between time, a time between the identity we have known and the life yet to come. It is a time of testing and danger when some will ask, will we survive? But it is a time when we should ask, more importantly, will we be the church God calls us to be? It is also a time of discovery and formation during which we explore what that call is and how the Spirit is at work reshaping and renewing us. It is a time which calls for change, for feeding on God's own given manna rather than slaveholder gruel. It is a time to discover and to claim a new identity. Wilderness time is a time of testing and danger, of discovery and formation. It is an uncomfortable time that calls us to take a hard look at our personal lives and our common life in light of the gospel. Wilderness time is when we finally acknowledge that we cannot make it alone, but have to rely on God. But wilderness time can also open us up to something new. It can not only challenge us, it can change us. It can cause us to claim a new, bold, deeper sense of our identity as children of God and followers of Christ as the beloved community. My friends, this is a time for such discoveries, and this is the place to do it. Church is the place that we can say to one another, where in fact we must say to one another, we are traveling in the wilderness right now, but we are traveling together. Even if we feel more lost than ever, even if we can't imagine what coming out on the other side will look like, let's follow the one who has been here before, the one who is with us now. The way may not be easy, but Christ will never abandon us or lead us astray.